Well, you're back on Piper's Pit. You know, some people didn't find it that much fun being on Piper's Pit, but myself, I always had a ball. This is Roddy Piper coming from Podcast One. I just wanted to talk to you. I got Ross Tucker, great football player, great guy. He's coming up here in a little bit. I just wanted a chance to say hello to you before. I never get a chance to say hello. I'm always telling a story or talking to someone else, and I very seldom get a chance just to talk to you. And I want to thank you. Like the Twitter, r_Roddy_Piper. They're great. They're great. And if you'd have told me 3 years ago that I'd be doing that, I would have had many expletives for you. But, I mean, the people of the world, you know, through my Twitter. Anyway, I don't have any real haters on my Twitter. And, you know, which is kind of odd because I have the dubious award of being the greatest villain in the history. In the history of pro wrestling. I mean, that's a big asshole. You know, let's just think about that. You know, out of all the different ways you can make a living, sports, whatever, lawyers, you know, I'm the biggest villain in the history of my business. So I made a villain t-shirt and I signed it. You can get that on rowdyroddypiper.com. And I got my own soda pop. And that's called All Out of Bubblegum. Because I was a loner in a movie called They Live. And I said this line. It's cool stuff. But it's cool stuff because you people, you made it that way. You've been my life. You know, you gave me a family. And I was just looking around at how many exceptional people there are around the world and different things. I just wanted to go through a couple of them before we get to Ross. As I got some questions for Ross on some concussions, on this new kid that's coming up. He's just about to get drafted and, you know, he's hanging out at the Playboy Mansion. Personally, I don't see what the problem is. You know, he's going to get as many millions of dollars as he needs, you know. He passed. He's out of college. Come on. But at the same time, you know, you need to take responsibility for what you do. There's one man that's just like, you talk about men, all kinds of different men around the world. So get this, like, there's this one guy, Victor Mooney. So this guy, you know, you think you're tough? This guy gets in a rowboat and tries to row across the ocean, and he fails. So he drifts for 2 weeks, and I don't know, Flipper came, found him, brought him back. So he builds another rowboat, and he tries again, you know. Orca gets him on, and he didn't make it. So he builds another rowboat. And I'm going to say, wait. Why you keep going with rowboats over the ocean? Why don't you just take a plane? Well, you see, Victor's brother, he had AIDS, and he died. So Victor thought if he could make it across the ocean in a rowboat, he could bring attention to the problem of AIDS and maybe save somebody's life that he doesn't even know. Holy cow. That's a man. So he builds another boat. Of course, this time, you know, something that I can relate to, his wife said, this is the last shot at it, okay? I'm backing you. If you don't make it this time, listen, we're hanging up the plywood. And Victor gets in there and he rows and rows and he rowed all the way across the Atlantic. Now, I can't imagine. I don't know what size the waves are in the middle of the ocean in a rowboat. I've heard of 50-foot waves. I don't know. But, baby Jesus, that's a man. And he made it. So he changed lives. even if he just saves one person, if he gets another dollar to the people that are trying very hard to kill this horrible, horrible disease. It's a man, you know. Ross Tucker is coming up. He's a man. He's a man's man. I like that. I like a guy that can say, who did that wrong? I did. No problem. I'm a heel. I'm a villain. But I'm a dad. So I have no problem putting up my hand saying I'm wrong. That's another quality of a man. A guy that can stand up to the plate. You know, there's another thing they say in my business. You know, all publicity is good publicity. I don't know. If you're a villain like me, maybe. The guy that keeps biting people in the World Cup, I don't know. You know, I remember when Sugar Ray Leonard went against, Hands of Stone. Oh, what was his name? Oh, great fighter. No Moss, you know, it was, I can't remember, maybe the eighth or ninth round, Roberto Duran, his name was. And he goes, you know, the guy's in there, he's a man. He's proved himself over and over again. And there he's in there, and he's given it everything he's got to do. And all of a sudden, he's on the stool, he's about to, they're about to ring the bell, and he goes, No Moss, no more. Well, get this. Back home where he was, they burned his house down. Right? They rioted because the guy said no more. I don't know how many times the guy was world champion. I don't know how many times the guy had beat, what his pro record was, who he had beat, at what time. He's fantastic. You know, like, is that good publicity? I don't know. You know? Yeah. You say no more for the fight. I'm going to go home and rest. You go home. There ain't no home. I don't know. But I do know what men do. I have four of the most beautiful children in the world. There's something from Twitter that's happened to me personally. And I'm going to get to Ross here real quick because he's really worth it. You know, I was on Twitter. I don't just sit there and watch Twitter. I don't have that kind of time, you know, and so what I do is Twitter, yeah. Boom, I get in there. Like one guy said on Twitter, Piper Twitter's in bulk. It's because I try to get to him the best I can, and then I got a roll, you know? Well, I was on Twitter, and there's this guy. He's a kid, like, yeah, I don't know what he is. 16, 19 years old, 20, I don't know. And, you know, he's talking back and forth, and of course, he wants to be a professional wrestler. Holy cow. And anytime I hear that, you know, if I can give a moment to that person, I might be able to save a world of heartbreak for him. Or I might be able to make his dream come true. I'm certainly willing to try. So as this relationship, he's over in Egypt someplace. So, like, I've never seen the guy. But, you know, he kept asking me, and I'd answer a question, and back and forth, and like a really, really, really good kid. Doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, really hard in the athletic department, hard working at school, and just told me, he says, listen, I have to go for a while now, because and pardon my pronunciation, it's a holiday for him, a religious holiday called Ramadan. That's not my point. My point is, he's a Muslim. I'm a Christian. It never got brought up. We've had just a ball talking to one another back and forth. We laughed, we told each other about troubles, and we're friends. And I hope that your family over there is having the greatest Ramadan stuff that you do. And I'm ashamed of myself that I don't know more about that. I think if we all did, a little investigation. It might be cool for us all. In any case, time for me to bring Russ on. I just going to start to talk to you a little bit every once in a while when I can. You know, go to RowdyRoddyPiper.com. Get that bubble gum. I'll personally autograph it. I don't know how long I can keep this going, but I'm going to get it in 200 stores, and it's going to be sold right across the world. It's the beauty of today. And so we'll be right back after we're going to have Ross Tucker. I'm just trying to think real quick if there's anything else I haven't addressed. Other than I hope every day you have is better than yesterday.
TrueCar.com is changing car buying forever. Yes, every day TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Some features not available in all states. In the first 3 months of the year, over 126,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. TrueCar users save an average of $3,078 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com and find out what other people paid for the car you're looking for. Then register at TrueCar.com to see upfront price information and lock in your savings. Third, step is simple. Just print out the TrueCar savings certificate. Take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Remember, every day, TrueCar users receive negotiation-free, guaranteed savings. Save time, save money, and never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.
Bill Goldberg here, and whether it be the NFL, whether it be the WCW, or the WWE, I have met a myriad of interesting individuals. Spend an hour with me on Who's Next with Goldberg and listen to the likes of Tony Stewart, Terry Crews, Chris Daughtry, Sean Merriman, Clint Black, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and many more. Go to podcastone.com, podcastone.com.
Hello, Ross.
Hey, Roddy.
How you doing, pal?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you don't know how lucky I am. You're a busy man. Huh?
Trying, man. Trying to avoid a real job like the plague.
You know, we have a lot in common. Concussions, don't want to work. you're like, just for ladies and gentlemen, first of all, this is Ross Tucker. If you know, Ross Tucker Football Podcast on podcastone.com, host of the SiriusXM show, The Morning Kickoff, columnist, writer, The Sporting News. What are you doing talking to me? you're an important guy here.
Oh, my gosh, please, Roddy. The honor is all mine. It really is an honor to talk to you. You know, I grew up a pretty big wrestling fan. You know, I'm 35, so I was born in 79. So 85 to 93 was like my heyday as a wrestling fan.
Baby Jesus. You picked quite an era there, and you grew up fine in spite of us.
Yeah, you know what? It was just awesome. Andre the Giant, the Iron Sheik, yourself, Hulk Hogan. I remember one time, Roddy, actually, we were in Chicago. My dad was taking me to a Penn State Notre Dame game, and we happened to stop by some hotel, and there was some WWF guys there at the time, and I made them stay because I like Jake the Snake a lot.
Yeah,
the Bushwhackers were there.
Yeah, they're great.
It was a tremendous product. It still is, from what I hear.
Yes. So you went to raised in Chicago?
No, I'm actually from Pennsylvania, near Philly. I'm from Reading, Pennsylvania.
Whoa.
I live in Harrisburg, Hershey now, but my dad took me out there because we were big Penn State football fans. So he took me out there to go to a Notre Dame game, so we flew out to Chicago, and we must have stopped by the hotel to, I don't know, use the bathroom or something, and we saw some WWF guys. I'll never forget. You'll appreciate this. I walked in, and I asked Jake the Snake for his autograph, but he was eating, and he said, you know, can you wait until I'm done eating? I said, sure.
Yeah.
He came out like an hour and a half later. My dad said, are we really waiting for this guy? I said, yeah, we are. I want to meet, you know, when you're that age, you're like, it's like you want to meet the guy.
Yeah, but hey, what a great dad. Huh? Wait an hour and a half for Jake the Snake for his son.
Probably thinking, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Yes, it was worth it to me.
Very cool. Good dad.
Hey, what are most of the wrestlers, you know, I know what you're up to and some of the guys, what are most of the guys that kind of, that don't stay involved, what do they end up doing? Like, what's a guy like Jake the Snake doing these days? Any idea?
Yeah, I do. Jake actually is, there's this kind of plague going around where guys are doing Q&As in different kinds of arenas, like comedy clubs or theaters. And to be honest with you, I started it in 2005. Guys are, you know, they're trying that, or they're just getting lost. We lose a lot. Where they just give up, or, you know, they pass on too quick. Just had the Warrior. You know, boom, I was watching the Warrior in the Hall of Fame. I'm sitting there watching him, you know. And as I was watching him, I was like, I don't know, I think in the third row. And he's going on and on. And all of a sudden, he pulls out a hanky to wipe the sweat off him, which is very unusual in our business. Because, you know, you're supposed to be able to, you know, keep it together up there. And
right.
I saw him, and he was kind of, he was a little winded. And then the next day, in Raw, you know, he just wasn't, just wasn't firing right. I'm not sure how to explain that other than like a shortness of breath and a sweat.
Right.
And boom, 54, gone. Pow. Like that. Macho Man.
Scary.
59.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities, I feel like, between, you know, wrestlers and NFL players, just in terms of the size and then what you put your body through.
Oof.
And then how difficult it is when you're done. I mean, it's hard. You know,
yes.
I miss it. You know what's funny, Roddy? You know, obviously I miss the money and I miss, you know, playing in front of people and stuff.
Sure.
I actually, this might sound weird, I actually miss the violence. Like, I miss being able to hit somebody as hard as I can. Like, every once in a while, I'll daydream while I'm driving about, like, being in the bar and somebody pushing my wife, not like real hard, but pushing my wife hard enough that I can, like, smash their head into a wall, you know?
You know, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's true. You know, if I don't get to the gym or hit the heavy bag, it starts to build up in me. And it's what we've done our whole life. It's our outlet. It's our sword. It's our strongest suit. And, you know, if you're not allowed to, or in my case, if I'm not allowed to exercise it and get it out of me, then it pens up. And I got to be careful with myself sometimes. You know, I have four children. I've been married 31 years. You know, I'd beat the dog out of her, but, you know, she's 4'11 and a half, my wife, and, you know, I'm 0-45 there. But, you know, again, and something, Ross, you know, is always dangerous territory for wrestlers, but that I got so much respect for what you, the football players, you and the rest have done, is this whole concussion piece of business, you know,
right.
And I got it for fans that don't know. Or rather, let me tell fans something. You know, until you are right up a foot and a half from these football players, the pros, and they're coming off and they're hitting each other, you have no idea really how hard these men are hitting each other. You know, you guys are going so hard. It reminds me of, and we'll come back to it, it reminds me of Hogan and Dennis Rodman and myself were in the shoot back in the WCW days. And it's like, I think it's a battle royal. And there's two more before me. Hogan's about four behind, and Rodman's in between us, and I get like the Iggy from Hogan, because you're not supposed to touch Rodman. And Hogan, basically what he says to me, he says, I'll throw them out, Pipes. You get a hold of them, we'll make the papers. You got it. And this is just like, you know, football. That was all done in about a second and a half. So we get out there in the ring, and all kinds of things are happening, and I'm waiting, and all of a sudden I see that Rodman come down onto the floor. And boom, I go to bolt for him, and the police, I guess, you know, they were tipped off, and they go to grab me, and Dennis Rodman took two sidesteps. One was a complete length of the ring, and the other one so far. And finally, I said to the policeman, I said, "Sir, that man is in no danger whatsoever." I could, but you see, and people don't understand, when you guys collide, holy cow, Wrigley Stadium, I threw out the first pitch. There was some, the whatever the kid's name was, you know, his sweet kid, the pitcher. And I just said, "Go ahead, you know, throw one down." Pop! Holy cow, don't ever do that again to me. You know, it was like, you don't, people that don't see it up, they don't realize what you're sacrificing for their entertainment. So now you guys all get together, and they're trying to take care of you in your, like, in the concussions, or like a kind of, what do you say that? Retirement plan?
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, there's a lawsuit going on, and that they're settling it. It's, you know, it's really interesting, Roddy, because, you know, I played from 01 to 08, 2001 to 2008,
yeah.
And I was never, it's changed so much so soon. I was never actually diagnosed with a concussion, but I've talked to people since then, and I know I got four or five, because they tell you that if you remember specific hits,
yeah.
I mean, we go through thousands of collisions, but I remember, you know, Michael Barrow in 2003, linebacker for the Giants, Danny
yeah.
Clark, Raiders linebacker 04. The one that really got me, our quarterback, Drew Bledsoe, threw an interception against the Patriots, and Roosevelt Colvin blindsided me.
Yeah.
The first thing that hit the ground was the back of my head.
Ah.
And I got up, and I'm sure you've experienced, I got up, and I was a little wobbly, but I was okay, but I was kind of just, I don't know, I felt like I was in a daze.
Yep.
And one of the offensive linemen said, "Tuck, you all right?" I said, "Yeah, yeah, I'm all right." He's like, "No, man, are you all right?" Now, thankfully, it was an interception, so I was able to sit on the bench for a couple minutes.
Yeah. You'll
appreciate this, though, Roddy. I didn't even start that game because our center, he started it.
Yeah.
But in the second quarter, he broke his kneecap. And how about this?
Oh.
He broke his kneecap.
Oh.
They didn't know it at the time. They have him in the locker room, and they're trying to tape it up, and they're saying, "No, you're okay. It's just a bruise."
Yeah.
And he's like, "I can't put any weight on it." They said, "It's just..." So he's in...
Yeah.
He told me later that he's in the locker room...
It's just
screaming
a bruise.
And rolling around on the ground as they're trying to get him to go back out there saying it's a bruise. Then
brutal.
After the game the next day, they find out he had a fractured kneecap.
Ah.
So I'm in there at center. I get this concussion, and there was nobody else. I mean, people don't know this, Rod. You only suit up seven offensive linemen. There was nobody else to go in, so I wouldn't have said anything anyway.
No.
But anyway, I go in. I play the rest of the game. I now know that was a pretty significant concussion, but back then, if you weren't knocked unconscious, you didn't know it was a concussion.
For sure, and I've been exactly what you... It's just kind of like... Yeah, I'm okay, but I'm just a half a beat off. And of course, in my business, as you know, we're entertaining, we're hitting hard, and they don't count them. Every time you hit the mat, every time you're getting hit, they don't count them. And a lot of guys have suffered a lot. I gotta just say, I'm talking with Ross Tucker, fastly becoming one of my favorite guys. I gotta take a break. I'll be right back with Ross Tucker in 1 second in Piper's Pit. Boom. Is your computer running slow? Well, mycleanpc.com can clean it up and speed it up today. Now, you might be asking yourself, how did my computer get this way? It's so frustrating, right? Well, opening infected email attachments, downloading music and games, slow your computer right on down. Over time, running these programs can cause junk files, internet clutter, processor and hard drive errors to build up on your computer. My Clean PC can help you.
First, go to mycleanpc.com, and in minutes, you get a free computer diagnosis and find out what's slowing down your computer. Then simply activate My Clean PC software to clean out the junk, internet clutter, and even removes viruses. And My Clean PC is guaranteed to increase the speed of your computer. With My Clean PC, there are two easy steps to speed up your computer. First, go to MyCleanPC.com and get a free computer diagnosis. Then simply activate My Clean PC software to optimize your computer performance. Go to MyCleanPC.com today and find out what's slowing down your computer. That's MyCleanPC.com. Need to go fast.
Hey, it's Chris Jericho. Check out a very special Talk is Jericho exclusively on YouTube. Longtime Fozzy fan and huge Jericho-holic, Daniel House is defying the odds of his terminal cancer and sharing his inspirational story with all of us. A message of hope, living life to the fullest, and never giving up. It's something you'll never forget. You can only hear it on YouTube. Google YouTube Podcast One Sports. Do it right now and hear Daniel House's amazing story and be inspired. Check it out right now. Google YouTube Podcast One Sports now. And check out the inspirational, emotional story of Jerichoholic Daniel House. You're not going to want to miss this.
And we're back. Ross, so there's a lawsuit going on trying to take care of the guys that got concussions?
Yeah, there is. And they settled it, but now the judge has said she's not sure it's enough money. It's like $800 million. But here's the thing. It's supposed to cover guys forever. Like, even if a guy 10 years from now says, hey, I want an exam, I got a concussion, and the judge's point is, how do I know $800 million enough to cover? Like, how do you really know how many guys, you know, there's a bunch of guys that put their name on the lawsuit. I did not put my name on the lawsuit, but even if you didn't, you can still go get an exam and get tested and potentially, you know, get some money out of it. And the judge's point is, how do we know if five guys are going to come out of the woodwork or 5,000? She doesn't really know.
Gotcha. One time, just in the same vein, because like you said, you know, you would have, of course, you would have gone in no matter what. You're a game rooster, and we all know that. You wouldn't have complained a bit. I was in Greenville, South Carolina, working in the afternoon, wrestling a guy named Wahoo McDaniels. Do you remember Wahoo McDaniels?
I do.
Oh, tough Indian. I must have fought him 60 times. And he used to put tape on his fingers, so when he chopped me, it would rip the skin off my chest, and I would be bleeding. And I'm fighting this Indian, and finally, okay, I finish in Greenville, and they got a private plane because we got another one in Savannah that night. And as we're coming in Savannah, the plane hits like a 500-foot air pocket and just drops, boom. And my head goes in the roof and breaks my neck. And they're trying to get me to the arena. And finally they do. And, you know, that was the main event. So they put three cops on each side and got me up. And I hung on to the top rope. And once they ring the bell, they don't have to give the money back, you see. And then you're on your own. So, you know, when you sign on the dotted line, you're signing up, you're taking quite a chance in my business and in your business. I don't think that people realize how much it takes to be Ross Tucker or how, you know, these.
Well, no, and Roddy, I wasn't even a great player, but I look back on it now, and my rookie training camp, I tore my right MCL and I broke my left hand. You know, then next couple of years, you know, you always have something going on. Then even my fourth year, I had a playing time bonus. So I played the last five games with a herniated disc in my back.
Jeez.
And it ended up being, I had to have that operated on L4, L5, L5S1 after the season. Then a couple more years I stuck around. Then I was on the kickoff return on the wedge. and I herniated my C5, C6 in my neck, and I went to the doctor, and he said that I had a bruised spinal cord. I said, what does that mean? He said, well, it means you're 28, you played 7 years, it's time to get a real job, because once you get the spinal cord involved, it's pretty dangerous. I think, you know, the fans, and I don't blame them, but they don't really see that. You know, they don't, I don't think they realize, I mean, that year, Roddy, when I had the, and I'm sure you can speak to this, but that year, when I had the big playing time bonus,
yeah,
I was taking 2 Loratabs, 2 Flexerols, and getting a shot of Toradol before every game. Like I remember the last game against the Steelers, my wife had to tie my shoes as I walked out of there, you know, to go to the stadium. Oof. But yeah. I needed to get 80% of the snaps to get my playing time bonus. I mean, I just don't think people realize the stuff guys take. I got to be honest with you, Roddy, I never really realized that about wrestling, you know. And then I've talked to some guys. I don't know if you remember this guy, but I actually played in college against Chris Harvard.
Chris Harvard, I know Chris Harvard.
Yeah, he's done a lot of the he's done a lot of concussion stuff too. He's a smart guy. And he told me, you know, after he played in college at Harvard, he got in the WWF, and he told me, you know, all the concussions he had, all the injuries, like,
brutal.
He told me how rough it is for you guys. And
brutal.
And you guys just, it happens to you guys while you're in the ring, and you just got to keep going.
Just, you know, back when you're talking like WWF, I was fighting 330 days a year. One time, Russ, they had me fight 90 different guys in 90 days in 90 different locations. About 45, 50, I didn't even know where I was anymore. And before they'd let me go home to my wife and kids, they put me in a hotel room for a couple days just to let me decompress. But, you know, like when you're hot and you're churning money, that's what they got you for, and that's what you signed up for. You know, like now if I had you as a tag team partner, you know, I might have done a little better. My right hip was replaced in 94. I've had over 1,000 fights on my right hip. I got 7 screws in the neck, you know, the rotator. I've had cancer, been electrocuted, gone down an airplane. Bring it on!
Wow.
And I'm building an arc right now, Ross. If you could...
That is amazing.
Oh, I tell you, you know, should have gone to school. And so you say, like, what do you do after? Like, and I hate to admit this, but like, see how hard it is for me? Dude, I just turned 60, and I still think I can beat all them guys. See, that's the problem. I can't. Can you watch football without convincing yourself in your mind that you can still go out there and do it?
I can, because I used to go to training camp at like 325 pounds.
And now
I weigh like 260.
Yeah.
Because I knew I didn't want to weigh that the rest of my life. So I know I'm not big enough. It's funny though, as we're talking, I'm actually here at the NFL's rookie symposium. So it's like orientation for all the rookies. And I met a kid today from Auburn. He was the second pick in the draft for the St. Louis Rams, named Greg Robinson. Roddy, he's 338 pounds,
oof,
and I swear there's not an inch of fat on him.
Oof.
And his teammates were telling me, 21 years old, his teammates were telling me he can jump up in their locker room. It's a 12-foot ceiling. They said he can jump up and touch the ceiling with both hands. He's 338 pounds.
Oof.
I mean, so I look at some of these guys now and just think,
oh, yeah.
There is no way. I mean,
a lot of guys.
My body feels so. I'm glad. I will say this though, Roddy.
Yeah.
I would. You know, it's funny. I got paid to play for 7 years. I would pay a decent amount of money for one more game.
Yeah.
You know, even if you just gave me 10 more plays, just 10 more times where someone said to me, "All right, Ross, you only have 10 more plays ever for the rest of your life."
Ooh.
Man, those would be some fun plays.
You know,
oh, man.
Man, I would fight again. I tried to. I tried. I badgered McMahon. I badgered the WWF. And, like, they know, man, just give me one more fight. And I'll tell you what, I was on this last one, WrestleMania 30. Give me Hogan. Give me Mr. T. I don't care. Give me someone. And they wouldn't do it, man. They wouldn't do it. And, you know, it was killing me. Tell me, so, like, I did my homework. And, like, you were a really stand-up man. And everybody says that about you, just in case you don't know. You have a very high caliber of people that follow you. And I want to ask you about a guy named Johnny Manziel.
Well,
tell me, like, okay, and you know what, brother? You can rain on me all you want to, because my wings are big and black. You know, I'm trying now. I'm going to church and everything, but tell me about Johnny.
Well, you know, I guess the problem I have with it, I had no problem with him doing with partying and stuff in college. I mean,
yeah.
More power to him.
Yeah.
You know, but here's the thing. Here's what he did, Roddy. It's interesting. Before the draft, he kind of knew he had to be on his P's and Q's, right? So he didn't go to the Super Bowl or any of the parties there. He didn't go to the NBA All-Star game or any of the parties there. He did a real Eddie Haskell routine, right? Where, you know, I've learned from my college mistakes. I'm not that same guy.
Yeah.
Well, then here's what happens. He gets drafted, Roddy. He gets drafted. And, like, the first weekend after he gets drafted, Memorial Day weekend, there's a picture of him with Gronk, Rob Gronkowski from the Patriots.
Yeah.
And they're at Las Vegas with a bunch of girls. I thought, you know what? Great. Good for him. Weekend off, no problem.
Yeah.
The very next weekend, there's a picture of him at some bar, and he's on an inflatable swan in some water at the bar with a bottle of champagne. I thought, that might not look great for the face of the franchise, but that's okay. And then most recently, they got a picture of him. It's a video.
Yeah.
He must not have very good friends that are posting this stuff, because it doesn't help you in the NFL world. But a video where he's got stacks of cash, holding them to his ear like it's an old-school mobile phone, and he drops the F-bomb, and his eye, he can't even open his eyes because he must have been so hammered. I don't know. And the point is
not,
you know,
cool.
The NFL, these are billion-dollar franchises, and they're counting on you to be the guy that finally gets Cleveland to be a good team when they haven't been forever.
Yep.
And it's hard to have a lot of confidence in a guy that's doing those type of things.
Yeah, and your kids are watching. And, you know, I only made one mistake like that, not worth getting into just right now, that I was ashamed of myself. You know, it's kind of like I was asking somebody about him because I knew I was going to have you on, and they told me about this Johnny guy and that, you know, he came through college and he's real good and he's got potential. But, you know, like if I'm dealing with McMahon and we're going to do something, I have no problem saying to him, you know, you don't have to pay me a dime. Just a second. I'll come up there. Throw that ball. I'll hit a home run. Boom. Now start paying me. With this kid, Johnny, it's not like, okay, I don't know anything about college football. I hope you're good and everything. But, hey, Johnny, why don't you win that Super Bowl for them a couple of times or the, you know, whatever it is before you start partying so hard? Because I know a lot of guys that, you know, they start fast, but they trail off real quick. There's some.
And that's exactly the point. And in NFL, that position, you got to be like the CEO, Roddy. I mean, you got to be like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and these guys that, you know, that's who you want because it's that important of a position. It's just, I can't think of anybody that, you know, people say work hard, play hard. I get that.
Yeah.
I can't think of a quarterback in the NFL that has done it like that, has gone that hard, that has been successful. Maybe Brett Favre with the Packers in the mid-90s, you know, he was running pretty hard, but, you know, it's hard to sustain that. I'm sure, you know, on the road, you saw some wrestlers that had to deal with that.
Absolutely. I was one of them. And, you know, and I'm trying to keep, but you know what, though? When you're getting paid, like the first WrestleMania, and I know you got to go, I want you back so bad, because I have so many things to ask you about Ernie Ladd, Wahoo McDaniels, et cetera, et cetera. You know, good stories about you guys. But like the very first WrestleMania, Vince McMahon literally put everything, including the mortgage to his house, up.
You know, so like, it wasn't, whatever Rod wanted to do or whatever, you know, his baloney was, right now, it's time to take care of business. Okay?
Because right.
We got to make this work. And that's why there's a WrestleMania 30. Because one, when it didn't have a number, was done right. And then we'll go out and say hello. And, hey, right. Johnny boy. Go out there with the pros and do a few things right, and then maybe we'll give you the right to a Diet Coke. I can't thank you enough, Russ. You know, again, Ross Tucker, host of Football Podcast on podcast1.com. He's one of the family. Host of SiriusXM show, the Morning Kickoff, columnist, writer for the Sporting News, and just a great guy, man. Really proud to have you on the show. I really appreciate it.
Well, the pleasure was all mine. I'd love to come on again.
Please.
If any of your listeners, if they're into football, I encourage them to check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. And like I said, it's awesome to get a chance to have a conversation with you.
I love you, dude. Give the family a hug. And look out, baby. Next time you hear bagpipes, I'll be behind them.
All right.
Thanks,
take care,
Ross.
Buddy.
Take care. Ross Tucker, ladies and gentlemen.
Download new episodes of Piper's Pit with Roddy Piper every Monday at podcast1.com. That's podcastone.com.